Pastor Ron Eagleton has been discussing in depth the purpose to resources. We have heard how resources are resourced and how those resources fit into God's plans for our lives. Now we will learn how resources relate to the Pentecost with the final discussion of the three-part series titled Resources and Pentecost.
Let's look, I'm sorry, how does it fit with this source? Are you listening to me? I don't have a fancy speech. I don't want you to listen to the way I put it together. Spirit of the living Christ. Move in interpretation in every heart and every mind. Spirit of the living Christ. Bring us to an understanding of what your word is saying to us today. So now, as the day of Pentecost approaches, there is something that has been promised. I told you before that there is no need for resources if there is no
purpose.
Say it. Purpose. If you have no purpose, you have no need of resources. I know we don't like that. We think God will just give us something because we say we belong to him. But if you're not doing anything, you don't need anything. You don't need it. God is in the business of resourcing out of himself being the source. He resources us for the calling or the purpose. Every resource is tied to purpose. So some of you are complaining about what you don't have. Let's see if you are in your purpose. Because God always equips you for your purpose. God always provides for you for your purpose. Now that doesn't mean, because we don't always walk in the spirit, that doesn't mean that we always know where the resource is. But I can tell you today where your resource is. Can I tell you? Anybody want to know where your resource is? There. Your resource is there. Where is that? Wherever he sent you. Wherever God is sending you. Well, I don't know where he sent me. Where is he telling you to go today? You got resource to go where he said go today. I told you that sometimes your resource dries up. Even though your source does not. God said to Elijah, he said, go to the brook Cherith and stay there. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. God said, he said, I've commanded the ravens. And yet, after he's there a while, the brook dries up. Sometimes your resources dry up. Don't ever worry because your resources dry up. Just make sure your source does not dry up. So if you make your resources your source, you in trouble. The same place got it dried up. I'm not going over everything. When he gets over to Zarephath and he's standing there in Zarephath going into the city, he said, I have commanded a widow woman to feed you there. No, he didn't say feed you, to sustain you there. You know the whole story. But the woman he called to sustain has collected two sticks and about to set them on fire so she can fix a last meal and a little oil. And she thinks that is her end. But God has said to Elijah, she will sustain thee. In order for her to sustain you, I must sustain her. In order for her to be your resource, I must resource her. So if I'm in my purpose and it is to sustain you, he's got to resource me. Now, if I have no purpose, I don't need to be resourced. But if I get into the purpose of God, there are some things that must come through me. So I'm going to get blessed as it comes through me. Help me today, God. I think you ought to hear me. So now, what are we looking at the day of Pentecost? He said to them, he had already said to them, he made a promise to them.
Look.
Are you feeling like you can't do what it is he told you to do? You can be honest. Do you just feel like I just can't do it? I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but you just kind of nod a little bit, you know, like you was agreeing with me with something. Let God be true. And every man a lie. Everything I need to do what I must do today, I have already. Everything I need to do tomorrow, it's over there. How come you don't have it now? Because I'm not there. When I get there, it will be provided for me there. Oh, God, you help me today. Either God is true or he's not true. And if he's not true, give it up and go on and do what other folks do. Die. You see, but when you're in your purpose, you cannot die. You cannot die when you're in your purpose. You can't die until your purpose is finished. I told somebody this morning, I said when Joseph was in Egypt, the promise that God had made was to Jacob, to Israel. Everything dried up, the resources dried up in Canaan. Oh, Lord, help me. They dried up in Canaan, but God had already sent a resource that didn't look like a resource. To Jacob, it didn't feel like, it felt like loss to him. It felt like loss when they came back and said, your son is dead, that wild animals have eaten. When they brought back the coat full of blood, it felt like his heart was going to rip out of his body when they told him, the one you love is dead. But he did not know that God was resourcing him. For Joseph, it was in a pit. Then it was in a slave trail to Egypt. Then it was on a slave selling block, market block. Then it was in Potiphar's house. Then it was in prison. But all that time, God was resourcing Jacob. He got to that side. Finally, he's standing in the house of the Pharaoh. He recognizes. You don't always recognize your resource, but God will make you recognize when you are the resource. Am I all right? See, sometimes you don't know where your resource is, but if I am the source will speak to me and say, make your way over to Sean. Is he expecting me? No, I haven't told him yet. I don't need to speak to the one who needs the resource. You see, the one who needs the resource usually has already spoken to me. The one who needed the resource didn't know where the resource was, so he spoke to the source. I'm the source, and I've declared you to be a resource. Go and meet Sean's need. So he says to them, let me leave that. So he says to those disciples, he said, I want you to go back to there. What do we do next? Go back to there. I preached the other week at Ascension service for Brother Rusty. And that was the message was on the Ascension. And at the Ascension, when Jesus is going up, these are two words that you got to be careful of. The angel said to them when they couldn't see him any longer, but they were still looking. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When they were still looking at their source and it had gotten out of view, their eyes were straining and their necks were stretching. And the angel says, ye men of Galilee, why? Two things. Stand ye here. Second thing, gazing. Why are you looking for something that's gone? This same Jesus. Old Saint Jesus saying, there's going to be a meeting in there. Going to meet my Savior there. Y'all not old enough for that song. He said, this same Jesus, he's going to come the way you saw him leave. He's coming back. You're going to see him in a cloud. You're going to see him just like he ascended. He will be coming back. So now, what do we do if we can't keep looking for him? What do we do? He says, go back to there. Your assignment is there. But I've been there. I didn't get nothing. But the assignment is go back to there. I don't have enough time. Let me do what I wrote. This is a little bit. Are you a minister of God? But are you doubting your ability to fulfill that role? To whom are you called? To whom are you called? You are called. To whom are you called? I ain't no preacher. To whom are you called? I don't really know scripture. To whom are you called? I don't really know the church. To whom are you called? You are called. And you're not called to an it. You're called to people. So to whom are you called?
Preacher. Now, Pastor Ron, how are resources, source, and purpose significant in the account of the Day of Pentecost recorded in Acts chapter 2?
Throughout the study of the source's relationship to the resource and their relationship to purpose, we've observed the widow of Zarephath and her assignment to sustain Elijah, and in return, his being resourced by God to keep her sustained for her assignment. This same theme is applied to the Day of Pentecost. A resource, the Holy Spirit, was given by God, the source, to resource the believers to fulfill their assignments. We are always equipped with what we need to do what God has assigned.
Are you called to the congregation that seems not to be able to understand what you're trying to convey? Preacher. Teacher. Are you called to explain a word that you can't seem to find the words to make it work, and you're not seeing the benefit of what you're doing? Parent, are you called to a child that does not want to conform to what you know is the right way? I'm just asking you about your equipment. Husband, wife, are you called to a spouse who does not want to, and maybe you might be the one, but does not surrender and submit to the word of God and the will of God, and it seems to be making your life miserable? Supervisor on your job or under supervision of someone else, is there a difficulty you're having because there is a burden on your heart from God to win your job, but you don't have the right words, you don't know where how to take the right opportunity? Son, daughter, are you trying to convince mom and dad and brother and sister and kinfolks that your walk with God is more important than their pursuit of your success? Neighbor, friend, well, I'm a quit. You see, you just name it, whatever it is. If you're called to it, the first thing you almost need to have is a feeling of insignificance, or that's not even the word. It is inability to complete the job. Because if I can complete the job, I don't need you to help me. You understand? My provision comes with my call. Oh, God. My provision, my resource. You need to get out of that mess you in, because it ain't getting you to the place where God told you to get. You're not reaching the people God told you to reach. You're not making the influence that you need to make, because you are not there, and you're trying to get resources to keep resourcing you, and you're in the wrong place. How do I know? Because God says that he resources us for everything he has called us to. Now I'm finishing up. Look. Let me just cover this. Corey, you read for me. Y'all don't have to put it on the screen. Just read for me. Acts 2:1. I just wanted to give you some parameters. You see, even though God resources you, did you hear me? Say resources. Even though God resources you, you see, even though there are parameters. Parameters mean there are limits, there are boundaries. There is something you have to work within. I have never in my life, it troubles me, it burdens me, I cry about it, that people think that God's going to accept them any way they come. He's so desperate that you don't have to live right. You don't have to live. devil. You don't have to have the Spirit of God. You don't have to love. You don't have to put yourself out. You don't have to sacrifice. Nothing. God is so proud to have me, and you're going to hell. Preacher, I don't like that kind of preaching. Well, this was the wrong day. Do you understand that? I need you to hear that. There were some who thought they were ready. I told you before, I've told you many times, the one scripture that gives me the most trouble in the Bible is that at the end, they show up, the Bible says, they show up and say, have we not done this? And they bring all of their works to him, and they show what all they've done, and they talk about what influences they had and what successes they had. And he says to them, depart from me. What? They are surprised. He said, I never knew you. Not you used to know me. I never knew you. What you did was for your own gratification. I never knew you. Depart from me. That's Bible. So if you got your list that you're keeping to show God what you've done, you better check and see if you have a list that says what he did. You better check and see if he saved you from your sins. If he saved you from your sins. If he saved you from your sins. What's the evidence that I've been saved? I was supposed to do this thing. What's the evidence? The evidence is not in my testimony. The evidence is in my changed life. You need to hear this. If any man be in Christ.
Yeah.
My life ain't no different. If my life is no different from before I was saved, I'm still not saved. I'm just still not saved. But I said the way I, but you're still not saved. It is not a work from the outside. Sister Waiting. It's a work from the inside. It's not just conforming. And I believe it. I believe you ought not look like a hooker after you get saved. I just believe. I believe I don't have to look at the ceiling to keep from seeing the nip your nipples. I don't need to know what kind of underwear you have on. I think something is wrong with that if you say. If you're not saved, keep you. It's okay. But I believe when I can see your panty line, something ain't right in your heart. You don't have to like me. I'm just telling you, there is something about godly folks that make them look godly.
Yeah.
There's something that changes. There is something that's under attack. My old life, my old world life, my old lights, there's a new warrior inside of me that's coming along hacking stuff and tearing stuff out and breaking stuff down because I'm a new creature. Old things are dying. You see, the problem is that some things can be dead, but they don't have to be buried. And that's the reason we bury stuff, why we put it in a box and seal the box and bury it so we don't have to smell death. You watch yourself. You smell something? There's some stuff you're going to have to bury. You got to grab some stuff that's walking around in you that ain't got no business. You got to crucify. And he tells you, and the stuff has a different kind of life than regular life. It'll rise up if you don't keep killing. You got to carry an axe all the time. You got to out. You got to walk committing suicide. Paul says, I beat my body to keep myself under. I'm talking about the equipment. The day of Pentecost was to give me equipment. I can be a good parent because I got equipment. I can be a good pastor because I got equipment. I can be a good witness on my job. I got equipment. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, now you don't determine the date of distribution. Nikki, you don't get to determine when he's going to resource you. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, Jesus told them, go back to Jerusalem, go back to there, and wait till I show up there. I will show up there. How long? It ain't your business. How long? Stay until I get there. Stay because there's some conditions that I'm going to have to fix. And on the day of Pentecost, so he determined the time. When you go resource me, get there first. Go to there. Corey, you still got the scripture. Read 2.
And suddenly there came a sound.
I'm sorry. Read 1.
And when the day of Pentecost was fully come,
yeah.
they were all
They were all. Sometimes, you understand, you don't get to set the conditions. Sometimes you think you're ready for the resource, but you're not. Sometimes you think it's time, but it's not time. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in the place. They were all there. I'm sorry, that's not right. They were all with
one accord.
With one accord. Now, I don't know how many. I know that over 500 had seen him since his resurrection. I know that. But on that day of Pentecost, there had been a waiting. There had been a waning. There had been a give up. But 120 of them, the 120 that could get unified, the 120 of them who could get their minds single at single focus and see one thing. And what? 3 minutes. I just need three. I said that before. I just used up one of my. But 120, read Corey.
In one place.
They were. He decided.
This has been a special broadcast production. The message you have heard was presented completely. If you have any comments, questions, or requests for the series on resources, write into Mount Rose at mountrosecogic.org. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to serving you again next week from the City of Refuge.